Begin the current daf in Sefer Yevamah is daf Samach. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, where the Gemara quoted a brisa on the topic that we're discussing in the previous Mishnayos regarding those that are invalid for Kohuna, specifically for a Kohen Gadol. And that is, as the brisa said, Anusis Asmai Mufutis Asmai. If a Kohen himself, a Kohen Gadol, seduced or violated a woman, and that the Brisa says, Lo Yisa, he's not allowed to marry her. And the reason is because ultimately, even though it was the woman that he had relations with, but now she's not a Besula, she's not a virgin when he's going to go ahead and marry her. But Vim Nasa Nasa. However, once he marries her, then it's married. And we had the discussion at the end of the previous stuff going up at the top of the summit. What is the ramifications of that? Can you stay married or do you have to divorce or forget? And if you have to, what would that mean that Im Nasa Nasa? Now, and that is where the Gemara continues on this stuff. With the end of the Braisa. The Braisa then said, Anusas chaveir, umafutas chaveir. However, if let's say she was seduced or violated by a different man, then also the halacha is lo yisa. He's not allowed to go ahead and marry her. Now, the difference would be v'im nasa. As we said in the previous case, if he violated her, then the Braisa says v'im nasa. So then he can maintain that marriage. But here, v'im nasa, here if he marries this woman that was never married to anyone previously, but she was violated by someone else, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says, Havlat Chal, the child will, from this union that the Kohen Gadol is having with this woman that was violated by someone else, if he marries her, the child will be considered a Chal, which means to say there is certain psulim regarding Kohuna with this child. However, the Chacham say, no, the child is Kasher, again, similar to in the case of Anusas Atzmai, Mufutas Atzmai. Now, on that the Gemara says, Amr Rav Huna Marav, Halacha Kerb Elazar ben Yaakov, Halacha Falz Kerb Elazar ben Yaakov, and that is in regards that the Vlad is going to be a Chalul if she's not a Besula, as Kohen Gadol has a Chiv to marry Besula. Here she's not because she was violated by someone else. So the Vlad is going to be a Chalul. It's one of the Psulei Kuhuna, just like we have by Gurusha Bachlutz Kohen Hedid and Molokohen Gadol. Here it's the same type of Halacha where he has to marry Besula and he's not, so the child's going to be Chalul. Chen Amr Rav Gidl Amr Rav, Halacha Kerb Elazar ben Yaakov. I get down to those who say a different version, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, that it was my time with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says, what's the reason with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that the child's a chal? Essentially, it's not a negative prohibition. It's not one of the psulim. Torah just says a positive commandment, marry Besula. But if you don't, okay. So you didn't commit, you didn't fulfill a positive commandment, but it's not one of the negative prohibitions to say it's from the Psule Kuna, meaning from the Isser Kedusha, to say that the child is going to be considered a Chal. So what's the reason of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that he says the Vlad is going to be a Chal? So the Gemara says, Savala Kareb Elazar, it's because he holds a Kareb Elazar. And that is, Elazar says on next daf, now Samachalva and Beis, that when a single man has relations with a single woman, if it's not for the intention of creating a union of marriage through that, he actually makes her into a Halachic Zayna. Hence, there is a law, there is a negative prohibition, because the Torah tells us that a Kohen is not allowed to go ahead and marry a Zoyna. And from a Chiyav Lavin of Kohuna, that is, as we said, that does create a child of a Chal, and that's the reason of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the child's a Chal, because actually, it's going on the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who he says that with just being ma'anis, a woman, or being mefata, seducing her, out of wedlock, will create her into a Zoyna. Now, when the Kohen Gadol marries her, he's marrying a Zayin, and that's a negative prohibition, so the child would be a Chal. Whereas the Chum argued, they don't hold like that opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and that's why the child would not be a Chal. Now, on that, the Gemara asked in this interpretation of Rav Huna, is it really true that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like Rabbi Elazar, and that's why he says the child's a Chal? But Vakayim Alon, we know that there's a halacha throughout Chas, that's Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, that the halachas, the statements of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, are small in measurements, that's the small measurement of a kav, but the naki, they're pure in the sense of that we always pass an halacha kamaisai. He doesn't say much, but when he does, we know he's right. Yet, ve'ilu baha, but regarding this halacha of Rabbi Elazar, regarding when a single man and a single woman have relations, Amram, later on the parak says that Amarav, in halacha k'Rabbi Elazar, halacha does not follow k'Rabbi Elazar. We do not say that the woman becomes a zayna by having this out of this relationship in her single status with this single man. So how can we say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is based on Rabbi Elazar if we know halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and yet we know halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar? And so how can you say that's the reason why he holds the Vlad Zachal? I think Malkan Lutz Kasha, definitely a difficulty. How could we resolve that if that's the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov based on Rabbi Elazar, when that would be a contradiction in terms of who the halacha is like? Now, however, the Gemara brings another interpretation. Rav Ashama, he says that Truthfully, you don't have to say, as we had seemingly difficult, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov actually does not hold a Kabbalah Zot. And this woman is not going to create the child a chal because she's a Zayna. And there's actually no negative prohibition. So then the question was, if there's no negative prohibition, so why would the child become a chal? So Vashi says the reason is because b'yesh chal mechiv aseh kemifligeh, this is actually what they're arguing about. If one violates a positive commandment, would that create a child a chal? Because here there's a positive commandment. It says in the Torah, the Kohen Gadol should take a besula, which infers not a be'ula. Now, we always know that a lav habo mechal aseh, something that's being prohibited, that's only an inference from a positive commandment, has the halachic status of a positive commandment. So here, marrying this woman that's a be'ula, who already had cohabitation, where she's not a besula anymore, that's a positive commandment. That's what they're arguing about. Will that make it a chol? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, yesh chol mechiv aseh, he holds that you could create a child, a chol, by a violation of a union of just a positive commandment. Rabban Savar in chol mechiv aseh, however, Rabban hold that no, it has to be a negative prohibition, and that's the interpretation of the machlokes. Now, that the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the reason, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he would say that a chol could be even from violating a positive commandment? As the Gemara's assumption up until now was that it would only be by a negative prohibition. So I think when I said the Chesiva, it says a pasuk in Yikra. It says, Amana, a widow, Begusha, a divorcee, Bechalala, and that's, again, could be in many different ways, but that like a child of a forbidden union of Kahuna creates a child of Chalala, so that woman would be a Chalala. Or Zaina, that's a woman, a harlot. As Eila lo Yikach, so the Torah tells us that these types of women, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry. Ki im besula v'goyma, rather the only type of woman they can marry is a woman that's a virgin and that never entered any of these categories. Now, Ksiv, it says after that in the Pasuk, v'lo yichal zar ba'amav, and thereby she shouldn't be desecrating his children amongst his people, I mean, because if he marries all those other types, he will create a child, a chal or a chalala. But if you marry besula, then there'll be kashra children. Now, and that is what the Gemara says, akulu, that it seems to be going back on all those things which were said in the previous pasuk, which includes even when it says, ki im besula yikach me'amav, and that one should not marry be'ula, so albeit that it's a positive commandment, but we see that the pasuk is saying, and don't be mechal zar ba'amav, meaning if you do anything not like we said previously, it will create. And that means to say that even if you don't take a besula, meaning you'll take a be'ula, which is the case we're discussing, of anusas or mefutas of somebody else, then that's going to create a child, a chal. The Gemara's Rabbanu, what would they say? They say, no. Eila hifsika inyan. There's the term Eila that's written after it says all those negative prohibitions of amono, gush, chalola, zayin. It says, es Eila lo yikach. So the word Eila means this. It's like qualifying, saying, oh, wait a second. That only those which are negative prohibitions, they're different than the positive commandment of besula. Those are the ones that will have the creation of a child, a chal, a chalala, but that will not include that of which the mitzvah say. Now, as Taisa explains, he says, although really the pasuk of Eloi chal zar ba'amav is going back on what was just previously said, which was actually the positive commandment of besula not to marry be'ula, but as Taisa says, logically makes sense that if Eila is separating the two categories, which one would be the one more making sense that it would create a child of chol? It would be the most severe category of a chiva lavin, and that's why the rabbanon say that it's going back on that and not on the one which was said last of chiva say. Now, that the Gemara says, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he would say that no, Eila is not separating the two of them. They're all going to be creating a child of chol, but Eila lem ute nida. Eila is saying these women will create a child of chal. I mean, even the besula, if it's going to be a be'ula, it's going to create a child of chal. But if, let's say, a kohen has relations with his wife, regular wife, that's menstruating, so although that's a prohibition and that's a forbidden union, but that will not create a child a chal. That's what Eila is coming to exclude. Now, following on this discussion, the Gemara says, "Kaman az l'had d'tanya." Who is the brisa that the Gemara is quoting now, going like from these two opinions? As the brisa says, Me'ela ata oisa chalol, from Eila, from these you create a child a chalol. Vi'i ata oisa chalol menida, but you do not create a child a chalol if a kohen had relations with his wife, there was a nida. On that, the question is, Kaman, who's the town of that brisa? The Gemara says, Kerbal Elazar ben Yaakov, as we just said, he's the one that interprets Eila as excluding nida and not to differentiate between chiv alav and anese, and that's why a child a chalol will even be from a violation of a positive commandment, which would be as this price that we had brought on the previous daf, of anusis chaver, mefutis chaver, once she's no more besula, So there's a violation of a positive commandment if he goes ahead and marries, and therefore it's going to be created child ochal. Now, that the Gemara concludes this discussion by asking, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if the interpretation of Elo is just to exclude Nida and not to differentiate between the Chibal Avin of Amana, Grusha, Halola, Zayna, and the Mitzvah Asay of Besula, well, then Nechteve Le'ela Le'psoif. It should have Ela at the end, thereby not splitting up the Chibal Avin and the Asay. And the Gemara concludes, Kasha definitely is a difficulty according to Rav Ashi's interpretation, that he said that the explanation of Ela, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is to say that it's going to be only excluding Nida and not to be dividing them. Because if it's not dividing, then why have it in the middle? It seems to be that it is separating them, and according to Ravash's interpretation, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not separating because they're all included in Lo Yichal Zar Be'amo. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion. Tarabai Unda Braisa. Achoisai Arusa. A Kayin Hedyut, a regular Kayin, that his sister is engaged. Now, as Rashi explains, if his sister would be married, so then obviously the Kohen Hedyut would not be able to be metame himself to her regarding her burial. Because the halacha is that the Pesukim tell us regarding Kohanim, they're not allowed to make themselves ritually impure. They're not allowed to go ahead and come in contact with a dead body. Now, however, the Torah does tell us that regarding the seven close relatives, then those type of relatives, a father, a mother, a child, those are the ones that he allowed to make himself impure. Now it says there in the Torah, but one of the seven is of Al-Achaysa HaBesula, and for his sister, that's the virgin, for her he's allowed to go ahead and be mitam himself. So obviously that would exclude Nesuo when she's married, which the relationship was consummated, therefore she's already Be'ula. So for such a sister, obviously he wouldn't be able to. But the discussion the Brice is discussing is if his sister's engaged. So on that there's a Machlaikis. Remei Rabbi Yehuda Aimrim Mitamala, he's allowed to be Mitamata. Beis Rabbi Shimon Aimrim, they say Aimatamala, he's not allowed to be Mitameha. Now, and the Gemara will explain this, but the Gemara continues with the Braisa that says, regarding Anusa Umafuta, if let's say his sister was violated or was seduced, so Devi HaKol Aimatamala, everybody agrees, he's not allowed to be Mitamala, and again, the Gemara later will explain why that is. Umukas Eitz Aimatamala, Devi Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon holds that if a woman was penetrated with a piece of wood, then he's not allowed to be metamatar. And the reason is, Shai Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said the following halachic ruling regarding who a kohen is allowed to be metamatar. That ru'uy le kohen gadol, any woman that's fit for a kohen gadol, metamalo is allowed to be metamatar. She'ain ru'uy le kohen gadol, if he's not fit for a kohen gadol, if she's not fit, then ain metamalo, then he's not allowed to be metamah. And the reason is, because both over here regarding, he's qualifying the halacha of, obviously not the mother and the father and the daughter from the seven relatives, he's qualifying the halacha of a sister. Because regarding the sister, it says, as we said before, Al-Chayse HaBesula. Now it also says that same term, Besula, by the obligations of a Kohen Gadol, who he's allowed to marry. Now therefore, Reb Shimon goes according to his opinion, which is mentioned in our Mishnah, that he said, Mukas Eitz Asula Kangala. Kangala is forbidden to marry a woman that was penetrated with a piece of wood, because then she's not a basula. She's not totally intact. And therefore we see that a Mukas Eitz is not included in the basula, and that's why a Kohen Hedyut would not allow to be metam himself to his sister in her burial if she's a Mukas Eitz, because she wouldn't be any more of Lachis HaBesula. Now the Braisa concludes, Ubegeres, regarding a woman that's over the age of 12 and a half, then metamala, he's allowed to be, the Kohen Hedyut is allowed to be metamala to his sister that's not married, that's divrei kol adam, that would be going according to everybody's opinion, even according to a mayor, that he actually says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Begeres. However, here regarding the halachas of Tumah, as the Gemara later on will explain, she's included from the Pesukim that the Kohen Hedyut would be allowed to be metamala himself to his sister, albeit that she's a Begeres and her Besulim are not intact. Now the Gemara goes to elaborate on this price. The Gemara first goes to the first halachas. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason Meir and Yehuda that they said that if his sister is engaged, Arusa, then the Kohen Hedyut is still allowed to be Metama himself to. So that the Gemara says, the Darshi Hachi, they expound the Pasuk regarding this discussion of one of the seven relatives of the sister as follows. Pasuk says in Yikach Chavalev Gimel, says V'lachaysa HaBesula, and one of the people that Kohen Hedyut is allowed to be metamazalf to, is to his sister, that's a virgin, which the Pasuk continues, which the Gemara will expound upon that,
hakroiva elov, that's close to him, ashalahoyslish, which was not yet had a relation with a man, la yitama to har, he's allowed to be mitama. So the simple translation of the pasuk sounds like it's just explaining that if a sister is still a basula, that means to say that she's close to him and that she didn't have a relationship with a man, so for her, he's allowed to be mitama. Now, however, they expound as follows. When it says his sister, the basula, so that's obviously prat lanus mafuta. That excludes his sister that was violated or seduced, because that means she's not a basula anymore. Now, so you would think that it would also exclude him from being metamet to his sister that was penetrated with a piece of wood, because then ultimately she's also not a besula because it's not intact anymore. At that time, that's what the pasuk qualifies and says, ashalahoysula ish, that meaning what's achisa besula? That means that she didn't have relations with a man yet. Ish, it's only excluding a woman that's not a besula anymore if she had that through a man. That excludes this woman, although she's not a besula anymore, but she didn't become what's called ois besula, being excluded, being non-besula anymore, being a be'ula, through a man. It was through a piece of wood, and therefore she would still be allowed for him to be metamatar. Now, the pasuk said another term of hakreva, that's close. Now that, Rib Shimon and Rimeir and Rib Yehuda say, is l'rabas harusa. That comes to include, and there was this, their opinion that we're coming to explain, is when his sister's engaged. Meaning to say that she's still somewhat close to him, she's not married to another man yet. Now, actually, Rashi explains that we needed to be marba, the arusa, that he could be metamatar, and that is that because you would think to say that maybe you would not be able to, and the reason is, because the pasuk says the words, asher loy hoy sola ish. Now, we would think that would actually exclude the arusa, because the term haisa always connotes havaya, which is the term used for kedushin. And therefore, we would have thought to say ashalo haisa leish, which did not yet have kedushin to a man, oh, mean to say, but if she had kedushin, if she's an arusa, then he cannot be metama himself to her. That's why we actually had to come included with the term hakreiva to say that no, if she's engaged, that then he could be metama to her. Now, a love, when it says hakreva a love, that's close to him, what's the extra word to him? That's l'rabas habageres, that comes to include a bageres that's still close to him also, that although she's not totally intact with her basulam, but she's still close relative. She didn't yet go ahead and consummate a relationship with someone else. Now, that the Gemara actually asks on that. Halamali kra, why does Remeir and Yehuda require a pasik to include a bageres that he can be metamed to? But Vam Remeir Meir is on record as saying that Besula, the term Besula, Afila Miktas Besula Mashma, would infer that even if only she's partial Besulam, that would still be considered, quote, a Besula. And therefore, over here where the term says Achesa Ha Besula, why do I need an extra rebo of an Elov to include a Begeres? A Begeres is someone that still has Miktas Besulam. So if Besula means that, so why do I need to have an inclusion of the term Elov? Now, and that's because as Rashi says, that how do we know Remeir says Besulam means even Miktas Besulam? Because regarding the halacha of a Kohen Gadol, it says Isha Bivsulaha. So we include something from the extra Yud, Bivsulaha and Har Besulam. It could have said, he should marry a Besula. So on that, Remeir says that that's coming to exclude a Begeris, the extra Har Besulam, which the inference is that he, because he says, had it only said Besula, it would have included even someone that's muktzes besula, meaning even the begeris. So you see that the term besula means even just partial, so why do you need an extra inclusion of a love if here it says just besula? And besula, we know, includes even partial besula. So I think Mar says, no, itzach, we needed an extra inclusion of a love, because actually, we would have thought to say, nelef besula besula mehasam, that we would learn besula besula from there, which actually Taisa says, which it sounds like from the Gemara, that mehasa means actually from there, from Kohen Gadol, where ultimately that ends up being, the halacha has to be not a begeris. It's only by a naira. But actually Rashi says, hasa means a different halacha actually. When it says regarding the violation of a naira besula, it says, ki matzi ish naira besula, where it says the term besula over there, and mala hala naira, just like over there, it means just if she's a naira, meaning not a begeris yet, she's still under the age of 12 and a half, so Afkan Naminaira, if I would have thought also over here where it says Besula, it would also mean a Nara like it means over there, and therefore we would exclude a Begeres, Kamash Mulan. That's why we need an extra Reba of a love to tell you that no, even if she's a bageres, the kohen head yet still allowed to be metame to his sister that's over the age of 12 and a half, if she didn't get married or wasn't cohabited yet with another man. Now, that the Gemara continues and asks, now, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, my Tamayah. So what's the reason of the disputants that argue, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, that they say that, no, that the kohen is not allowed to be metame to his sister if she's just reached the age of 12 and a half and that she's a bageres? So the Gemara says, Darshi Hachir, because they expound the pasuk in a different way, as follows. V'lachais ha-besulon says that he could be metame to his sister, that's the besula. That's prat la nusa mefuta, as the other opinions have said, but he adds on umukas eitz. But they say because if one's penetrated by a piece of wood, then she's not a besula anymore. So not only does it exclude if she was seduced or violated, it's even if she's a mukas eitz. Now the pasuk says, asher loy hoysa. Now, as we said before, not like the opinion of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon say that that's prat la rusa. That excludes a woman that gets engaged. And this is where they argue, and they say that you cannot be metame because the term ha'isa always connotes havaya, which means kedushin. So therefore means that she wasn't yet kedushin to a man, but if you had, then you can't be metame anymore. Now, hakreva, so what's included in say that that's close to him? That's l'rabbis arusa shenes garsha. So that's a little bit different. They hold that once you're engaged, cannot be metame. But if she was engaged to another man and then got divorced, and she never went to Nisu and never consummated that relationship, then she's considered kreva, and then he would be able to be metamata. And from the final word, a love, as all opinions hold, that's l'rabbis is a begeris, that includes a begeris that is still close to him because she's still single and she never had cohabitation. She just reached the age of 12 and a half, and she still has some besulim, and therefore he could be metame to his sister in that stage. Now, that the Gemara asks as follows. We said that hakreva, according to Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Shimon, what does that come to include that's close to him? L'rabbis arusa shenes garsha. Although they hold that arusa, he cannot be metame, but it comes to include if she was engaged and then divorced from engagement, then they could be metamata. Now, the Gemara continues in Amud Beis and asks on this, but Ba'am Rabbi Shimon, which is one of these two opinions, he says, as we quoted this before, that Ru'uy the Kohen Gadol metame lo, he said that the general rule is that a woman that's fit for Kohen Gadol, such a sister he could be metame to. She'ein Ru'uy the Kohen Gadol, but someone that's not fit for Kohen Gadol, which a grusha is not, once she's divorced, no matter even from engagement, he cannot marry her, ein metame lo, then the Kohen cannot be metame to her. So how could Reb Shimon say that if she's engaged and then divorced from engagement, then they can be metame to her? So I think Gemara says, you're right. The Reb Shimon's statement was a general blanket rule, but Shanei Hasam, that case is different when she's engaged and divorced because the Rabbi Rachman the Kriva. That's exactly why the Torah is coming to include it from the term that she's close, although she's not fit for a Kohen Gadol. But in spite of that, since now she's back to the original stage that she had, she's close back to him again. She's not engaged to someone else, and she never had cohabitation, and therefore he can go ahead and be metamata. That the Gemara asks, Ehach, if that's the case, then mukas eitz nami rabbi. Then Reb Shimon should come to include even a woman that was a mukas eitz that he could be metamata because there also she's still crave it to him because she never had a beer with anyone else and neither is she engaged to someone else. So why is mukas eitz different than the case of an arusa that was niskarsha if you're coming to include it from kreva? And more than that is that you're qualifying that there are inclusions that don't have to be Ruhi L'Kohen Gadol. So if you said everyone has to be Ruhi L'Kohen Gadol, so I understand, he holds that Mukas Eitz is not Ruhi L'Kohen Gadol. But if you're including a case which is not Ruhi L'Kohen Gadol, so include Mukas Eitz Nami also from the term of Kareva. But the Gemara answer is the term Kareva is singular. That's close. Achatz L'Eshtayim. We only could include one and not two. And therefore we include the one of Arusa Sheniskarsha and not Mukas Eitz. To which the Gemara asks, Amari Yisrael, where do you see fit to differentiate? Maybe include mukas eitz and not arusa shenizkarsha. I think my answer is no. Ha, the mukas eitz, is avid b'maisa. An action was done to her. Something happened to her, which was she was penetrated by the piece of wood. Ha, lois avid b'maisa. Whereas the case of arusa shenizkarsha, nothing ended up happening to her. She was engaged, but she's still intact as she always was, and therefore it makes more sense to include arusa shenizkarsha in kreva and not the case of mukas eitz. Now the Gemara comments that what's interesting is that Rabbi Yosi, midishavki labarzuge, from this that he leaves his partner, in other words, that regarding that there was two cases that we have a machloikis between seemingly Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. In other words, by the case of Arusa, Both Reb Yisi and Reb Shimon argue in Rebbein and Yehuda and say that no, if a woman's engaged, it's forbidden for the brother that's a kohen to be metamata. However, but by the case of Mukkas Eitz, we only find Reb Shimon arguing that saying that a Mukkas Eitz is forbidden. But Reb Yisi is not mentioned over there, so he leaves his partner in that case. So that the Gemara says, Machlad, the Mukkas Eitz, Kermeis really, it's obviously we could infer that regarding the case of a Mukkas Eitz, that Reb Yisi would agree to Reb Meir that the Kohen Hedid could be Metamata's sister, although she's a Mukkas Eitz, like Reb Meir Behuda. So the Gemara asks, Menole, from where does he know that halacha? So the Gemara says, Melohoi Salayish, where Reb Meir, as he expounded from the term, that if she wasn't yet with a man, which Reb Meir said, oh, it's only someone that would be a non-besula through relations with a man. Whereas a Mukkas Eitz, although she's not a besula anymore, but since it wasn't through Haisalish, so therefore she would still be fit for the Kohen Hedid to be Metamatar. And that's where Reb Yisi knows, like Reb Meir. But that the Gemara asked, but Vafikse. Reb Yisi uses the term Haisalish to exclude, and this is what he argues in Reb Meir, an Arusa, someone that's engaged, which already had Haisa, which means Havaya, that already had Kedushin, that's someone that you cannot be Metamah to. So how can you use that same term to say that, to allow the Kohen Hedid to be Metamah to Mukkas Eitz? So I think Mar says he splices that part of the Pasuk. Because Chad mi loy Haisa, one halach is understood from loy Haisa, which excludes Narusa, which already had Haisa, meaning who had Kedushin, v'chad mi loyish, and one is from the qualifying word of to a man, which permits a Mukkas Eitz, which she didn't get ruined through a man, she only got that through a piece of wood, and that's how he learns both halachas from that same term of loy Haisa leish, one from loy Haisa, which talks about Kedushin, which disallows one that was engaged, and one's from Leish, which says that only the problem is from when it's through a man, but if it's through a piece of Eitz, then the Kohen would be allowed to be Metamah to his sister, that's a Mukkas Eitz. Now the Gemara continues, it's said in the Braisa that according to everybody, we learn that from the term Eilov, that this Kohen's sister that's close to him, L'rabbis Habigeris, we come to include that if his sister is over just over the age of 12 and a half, that as long as she's single and she never had cohabitation, then, although her besulma not necessarily totally intact, however, he could still be metamata. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, one of the four opinions mentioned in this braisa, which we're saying everyone agrees to, is Reb Shimon. But V'am Reb Shimon is on record as saying previously, in regards to the discussion of who a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry, which it mentions besula, so it actually says over there the term bivsuleha, in her besula. Now, the Gemara there says that, had it only said besula, Shimon holds besula shleima mashma, that we would have understood that to mean that it has to be that all her besulim are intact. And that's because, as Reb Shimon there explains, that it's only because it says besuleha, that her besulim, which therefore we come to allow a bageris to a Kohen Gadol. That's his opinion over there, meaning even though she just says mixes besulim, but that's because that's included from besuleha. But had it only said besula, then we would have thought to say that a bageris would not be allowed to Kohen Gadol. So we see that he holds that the term besula means shleima. Now, there's many interpretations in the Rishonim, but the way Tesi Rishonim explains it, the Gemara's question is that why? Shouldn't he learn it from, oh, if you're saying that he holds a love, comes to include a begeris, so therefore we see in our halacha of a kohen who he be metamed to, means to say, even if she's a begeris, so we see that the qualifying term in the halacha over here by Tama, besula means even a begeris, so why would he say over there that, oh, it's only because it says bivsuleha that we include a begeris, because had it said only besula, and we would have thought this has to be besulim shleimim. But it's not true, because we see over here, in our halach over here, that besula means even if it's not shleima, because we see that besula means even a begeris. So the Gemara answers, time of the day, nami hasam, you're right. The reasoning of Reb Shimon over there is actually based on mehacha. It's based on the halach over here. And that's because of Darash Hachi. It's because he made the following exposition. Mide'ei lov, from the fact that we needed over here in halacha of tumah, this extra word of elav, l'rabbis habegeres, to include a begeres in the halachas of tumah, so machlal, the inference is, the besula, that had we not had any ribui in the parsha, which we don't have over there by Lachas of Kohen Gadol who he can marry, if it just says the term Besula, Besula Shlema Mashma. The understanding is that that means you have to be a complete Besula. You're right. Over here by Tumah, ultimately the Besula ends up being even the Begaris, but that's only because you have extra Rebo, Avela. Without that, it means to say that no, Begaris would not be good because she's only mixed as Besulim. You have to have Besulim Shlemim, and that's why that doesn't contradict what Rabbi Shimon said over there with the Kohen Gadol, that you need Besulaha to include a Begaris. Because if it only said Besula, we would have thought to say that it has to be Besulim Shlemim, which would exclude a Begaris. Now the Gemara continues on the same topic regarding Besulim, how it relates to Kahuna. So Tanya Linda Brysa. Shimon ben Yoichi Omer, he says, following Halacha, a female convert that converted that under the age of 3 years old in one day. So such a girl is permitted for kuhuna, and what the understanding of that means to say is that although non-Jews are not necessarily faithful in regards to relations, but here we would not consider her as a zayna, although generally a non-Jewish woman, the kohen, would be forbidden to because we would consider her a zayna. But however, since he's under the age of 3, we don't consider her a zayna. And Shenem, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, which talks about the captivity of the women from Midian, in the biblical story, it says, "V'chol taf benashim," and all the children that are female, "Ashal yodu mishkav zachar," which didn't know, meaning that were not intimate with the laying of a man. So, "Hachiyu lechem," those types of women you could keep alive and you could take, and the rest you cannot. Now, "Hari Penchas imam." Penchas was one of those that went there and took the women in captivity, and we see that those women are permitted. So, therefore, we see that those women which are not able to have cohabitation, which is a girl under the age of 3, will be kasher for kahuna, and we won't consider her as a zayna because we see that Penchas the kohen was allowed to take those women which were asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, which the Gemara's assumption is that's a girl under 3, which cohabitation does not take an effect, does not have the halachic status for such a woman. Now, for Rabban, the Gemara asked that they say it's forbidden a geiris even under the age of 3, even of a 2-year-old. That's because lavadim alashvachus is no right from the pasuk. The halach is she will have halachic status of a zayna even younger than that. And although Pinchas was allowed to take those women, that was only for slaves and maidservants and not for marriage. And therefore, because for marriage actually would be forbidden. Now, the Gemara asks as follows. Ihachi, if this is the source for Shimon ben Yechi's halacha, that we will not consider a non-Jewish woman that converted if she's lo yadu mishkav zachar, so ba'ashal shalom yemecha nami, then even if she's older than 3, Reb Shimon should say that she should still be kosher to a kohen as long as she did not have cohabitation, because if you look at the pasuk seems to indicate that the primary criteria is that ashal lo yadu mishkav zachar, that she didn't have cohabitation, and that you could keep alive and you could take as a spouse, even you, Pinchas, who is a kohen. So why is it only said if it's under the age of 3? So I think Gemara says kedrav huna. And that is that you cannot say that the pasuk was allowing them to take women that were older than the age of 3. And if we see that that's the defining criteria, not so much about who had cohabitation, but that who's eligible for cohabitation. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Rami, he posed the following contradiction in those pasukim there by the captivity of the women of Midian. On the one hand, Ksiv, it says over in the pasuk, call Isha, any woman, which sounds like we're talking about an adult, that Yadas Ish, Lemishkav Zachar, Haragu, that was intimate with a man for laying with relations. Does such a woman, Haragu, you have to kill? And that is, if she was intimate, you kill her. Now, the inference of that pasuk is, Ho'eni Yadas, Kaimu, if even an adult woman, if she was never intimate with another man, then you could maintain her and take her in captivity. Now, Machlal, the inference is, the Hataf, but regarding the children that were female, Ben Yadu, Ben Lo Yadu, Kaimu, whether they were intimate, whether they weren't, then you could maintain them. Yet, but however, it says over there in the pasuk, it says, "V'chal taf b'nashim," that all the minor women, "Ashla yadu mishkav zachar," that did not have intimacy with another man, "Hach yulchem," that you can maintain. "Hayadu haragu," that sounds like to say, but if they were intimate, then you do have to kill them. So, how do we understand that? So that the Gemara says, "Haba Omer." So the what you have to say is from the seeming contradiction of these pesukim. You have to say that when the pasuk uses the terminology of yedaas or lo yadu, that weren't intimate, it doesn't mean as it usually means to say that if they were literally intimate or not. Rather, because to to explain this these seemingly contradictory psukim, you have to say b'ruyeli boila kasamadab. The Torah is talking about whether she's fit for cohabitation or not, and that is what the pasuk was saying, was that any woman that's fit for intimacy, she you have to kill. And that's the understanding that it says that when you have a woman, even if she's a little bit over the age of 3, who she's already fit for cohabitation, then you have to kill. And don't make the inference, but that a child, whether she was intimate or not, then you keep it alive. Because we're saying we're not talking about intimacy. We're talking about that if she's eligible for cohabitation, that is what we say will be the dividing line if you keep them alive or not. And therefore, when the Torah obviously is telling you that you keep them alive, regarding the taf banoshim, it didn't mean that lo yadu. It meant to say because they're not fit for yadu. What age is that? That's under the age of 3, where there's no chalais, there's no halachic status of cohabitation with such a young girl. Tanem ha'ach is someone no braisa. Says in the pasuk v'chol isha yadas ish, that any woman that was intimate with a man, so that the braisa qualifies b'ru'uyili boila kasam adabar. We mean to say that even if she wasn't intimate, even if she didn't have cohabitation, as long as she's eligible, those were the women that had to be killed. Now, the braisa says, ato'ime b'ru'uyili boil, is that the understanding of the pasuk that it's fit for cohabitation? Or ye'ena elo nivela mamash, or maybe the pasuk really means that the defining criteria was if she had cohabitation with another man or not. So that the Brisa says, as we said, Kishu Oymen, but then when the other pasuk said, V'chalataf banoshim ashalayu d'mishka b'zalcha, that any minor woman that wasn't intimate with another man, that is to say that, however, the inference of that pasuk is, but an adult woman, because that's taf banoshim, but it sounds like an adult woman, even if she wasn't intimate, that you would kill. So how do we understand that? That's as we said before, Hava Oymen, that you have to say, P'ru'uyi li bo'la kazam adaba, that both pasukim are really saying the same idea. It's talking about that if she's fit for cohabitation. So we're saying that if she was fit, meaning Isha, meaning over the age of 3, then that woman was killed, but under the age of 3 was allowed to be taken in captivity, and that's the source from Shimon Yochis Halacha, where you see that a Geyeris that's lower than the age of 3, who, as we find by the women of Midian, we do not consider them Zayna, she's not even fit. We don't view as any cohabitation that happened with her as a Chalais of Yediyah, as if there was intimacy, and therefore she'd be permitted for a kohen to take her as a wife. Now, the Gemara, however, asks a technical question. Mino Yadi, how do they know? You're telling me that the psukim over there by the biblical story of Midian, which women were they allowed to take? If they were eligible, if they were reached that age of maturity, that then the cohabitation could take place with them. Now, how do they know? So Amar Rav Huna bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chassid, he says, Hevirim lofnei atzitz, they took all these women, they passed them in front of the plate that said Kodesh Lashem that the Kohen wore on his forehead. Now, Kol Shepaneh Marikis, any woman, which this was obviously a miracle, that her face turned yellowish, B'yaduashi Ruli Bal, you knew that such a woman was fit for cohabitation, and therefore they killed her. Kol Shein Paneh Marikis, and the woman that her face did not turn that, did not lose its color, B'yaduah She'ein Ruli Boil, so then you know that she was not fit for being there, for that was the type of a woman that was allowed to be maintained in captivity for them to take them as wives. Now, similar to Rav Nachman, he says, same idea we find that similar Avera Hadreiken, and that is that a symptom of those that commit adultery, those that violate these types of halachas regarding Gila Arayis, that their face turns yellow. That's the same idea that we see that was the element that was used for that nas to see which was the woman that was Rilabia or not, was that Panem Marikas. Now the Gemara says a similar idea about that they had to find a way to know which one were the ones that were fit for Bia or not. So Kayetze B'dava Ato Emer, similar phenomena we find in history in Sefer Shaftim. It says that V'yimtzu U'miyesh V'yavesh Gilad, that they found from the settlers, from the settlement of Yavesh Gilad, Arba Meis Nair Besula, 400 virgin women, Ashla Yadu Ish L'mishka B'zacha, which had never been intimate, laying with another man. Now, as Rashi gives the background to this story, and this was at the infamous incident of Pelegish Begiva, which there was an incident where they caused a whole war between the rest of the tribes of Israel with the Shevet of Binyamin. What ultimately happened was that the B'nai Yisrael killed the people of Yavesh Gilad. And the reason was because they didn't join the rest of B'nai Yisrael in fighting Shevet Binyamin like the rest of Klal Yisrael did, because they felt that it was an injustice what was done by the people of Binyamin, which was a disgrace to the Jewish people. Now, however, they kept alive any woman which had not been intimate. And that is exactly, they left over those women and they married them off to the men of Shevet Binyamin when they made peace, Shevet Binyamin with the rest of the Jewish people. Now, however, on that, the Gemara asks, Minoyadi, how do they know which woman had been intimate with a man and not? Similar to the question we had with the women of Midian, who was eligible for Bia or not. So Rav Kahane says, Hishivim al pichav v'shal yayin. What they did was, is that they sat these women on top of a barrel of wine. Now, Ba'ula Recha Naidiv, a woman that had already had once had cohabitation, so then as Rashi in Masechet Ksubis on Daf Yud explains, that her breath that came out of her mouth had the aroma of wine. And the reason is because it entered her body through Eisei Mokum, or since that had already been opened through cohabitation, so that permeated her body and came through her mouth. That's how they knew that she already had cohabitation. Besula in Recha Naidiv, however, if she was a virgin, then it didn't have a way of coming through her body, through her mouth, and therefore those were the ones that they kept alive to give to the people of Shevet Binyamin. Now, the Gemara asks, Navrin Lefnei Tzitz, why didn't they do the same thing they did by Midian and pass these women in front of the Tzitz? So Rav Kahane b'Rei Rav Nosson, he says, no, as the Pasuk in Shemoy says, that L'rotzin Lohem Ksev, it says in regards to the Tzitz that was on Meitzach Aaron, that this should be constantly something pleasing for you. Now, L'rotzin Lohem L'parnas, which means to say that the Tzitz should be used only for a blessing for the Jewish people and not for punishment. Now, to kill Jewish women, that's not something we want to use the tzitz for. So the Gemara says, Ihach b'Midianami, so then the same thing should apply to the women of Midian. It's only used for L'rotzin and not for Paranas. But the Gemara says, Namar Avashi, Lahem Ksev. It says it should be L'rotzin for them, meaning a reference to the Jewish people. However, Lahem L'rotzin v'loy L'Paranas, so that's only for the Jewish people, but L'ayv d'kachav mefil L'Paranas, but for the non-Jewish people, it can be used even for punishment, which was what it was used for the women, for the captive women of Midian. Now the Gemara concludes its discussion. Amr b'Yakov b'Idi Amr b'Shuman Levi Halacha g'b'Shimon ben Yechai Halacha v'as g'b'Shimon ben Yechai. Again, in his machlokes, that if a woman that was a non-Jewish that converted under the age of 3 is permitted for a kohen, and we do not consider, as we see his raya from the Pesukim in Midian, that it's not as if she's even eligible for bia. So definitely, even if there was cohabitation, she will not have the halachic status of a zayna, and therefore she's permitted to a kohen. Now that halacha. Amalei Reb Zeira Reb Yaakov Reidi says, "Beferish Melach, did you hear explicitly this that you said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Levi that Allah is Gibshim ben Yechai? Or did you infer it? In other words, did you hear a halacha from him that you said, oh, if he's saying this halacha, must be that he holds Gibshim ben Yechai, and that's why he said that he says Allah is Gibshim ben Yechai." So the Gemara wonders, "My Klala, what general statement could there have been that Reb Shimon Levi said?" That Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi would have inferred from there that he holds halacha as Gibshim ben Yechai. So the Gemara says, because of this halacha, Rabbi Shimon Levi said there was an incident where Ir Achas Hoysib Eretz Yisrael, there was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael, Shakar Lav Ar, where there were rumors going around about a certain family in that city. Now, Beshogar Rabbi asked Rabbi Raimanus, so Rabbi sent Rabbi Raimanus, Ubadka, he investigated, Umotza Babaski Yeriz Pchusim about Shal Shalom B'Yemech, and they found out that the rumors were starting because of there was kahuna that was married to a woman that had converted, which is generally a problem because we consider her as a zayna, but he found out that she had converted under the age of 3. And v'chshir Reb Likunas, the Rebbe said that, no, it's okay. She can remain married to her husband that's a kain, because, seemingly, that's the halacha of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, who says that's permitted for a kain to marry a woman that converted under the age of 3. Now, however, he answered, although that would be a good question you're asking, but Amalei Beferish Meili, I heard explicitly from his mouth, from Shimon Levi, that it says, like Reb Shimon ben Yochai. To which the Gemara asked, V'imechlal amai, and what do you mean? And let's say he would not have heard explicitly from him that it's like Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Let's say he would have inferred from this halacha. What would be the problem that Reb Zeir is asking? Oh, did you hear it explicitly? Or did you infer it? Let's say it was an inference. Wouldn't that be a good raya that he holds like Reb Shimon ben Yochai? Now the Gemara says no. Because Dimashani Hasim, maybe that case is different. And the reason is, as that incident was, Hoyleva Insiv, because once she's married, maybe then Rebbe said, okay, you could stay married. And the reason is, we find such a criteria in halacha, because the Harav, Rabbi Yechonem Tavai, as we mentioned as a previous daf, they hold Begeris Umukis Eitz Loy Yisa. Right? The halacha is, according to certain opinions, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman that was over the age of 12 and a half, because her besulma not intact. And same thing is for mukas eitz, her besulma not intact, and the kohen gadol has to marry a besula, which those opinion holds it has to be a full besula. Now, however, v'emnasa nasi, the halacha is, as we explained the logic of this halacha in the previous daf, if she's married, then she could stay married because ultimately these invalidations will ultimately come true for the kohen gadol himself, because the first time he goes and marries this woman, she's already mukas eitz, in other words, she's ba'ula. And ultimately, hopefully one day, she's going to reach over the age of 12 and a half, and she'll become a begaris. So therefore, you could maintain him in that situation. So therefore, he's saying that if he was only inferred from that incident, maybe the truth is, Rabbi Shimon Levi does not hold halachas like Shimon Yochai. But since she was married under the age of 3, so you can maintain her. Once you're married, you can stay married, as we see that there is such a precedent in halacha. To which the Gemara asked, Hachi Hashta, would that be a good question to say why that would not be a good inference? How could you compare the halacha of Rav and Rabbi Yechanan regarding begaris and mukas eitz to the case of a geyeris? Bishle mahasam, as we explained, that that's the logic for those halachas. Saifaliz begaris tachtav. Because the reason why you can maintain her, although it's in violation of besula beyama, she's not a besula, because ultimately one day she's going to reach the age of 12 and a half. So you can maintain it. Sevali is ba'ula tachtav. She's going to become a ba'ula, so you can maintain the mukas eitz. But hacha, sevali is zayna tachtav. Is she one day going to be a zayna? In other words, if he didn't hold, like Ibshim ben Yechai, and that is a geiris under the age of 3, really, a kohen is not allowed to marry. Well, that would obviously be because we consider that all the cohabitations that these non-Jewish women have to be that of a bia, even under the age of 3, and that is she's like a zayna. And therefore, that wouldn't make sense to differentiate between whether it's initial or, regarding maintenance. That wouldn't make a difference. That you can't say the same logic Rav and Rabbi Yechanan say, and therefore that wouldn't be a good refutation from the inference. As the Gemara says similarly, that Rav Safra, Masni Lamachlal, actually, this was the same conclusion of Rav Safra, where he originally inferred from this halacha that Rabbi Shimon Levi had said over, which he said, obviously I was like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Then Bekashli, he had the question which Rabbi Zerah had asked, that is, wait a second, maybe that's different, that story. Maybe the Rebbe permitted it because once you're married, you can maintain married. But then, Umashan Elehachi, he gave the same answer that our Gemara just gave, that says, no. There, by Begeris and Mukas Eitz, you could say such a sorrow that once you're married, you can stay married because ultimately she's anyways going to become Begeris and Mukas Eitz. But you cannot say the same svara by a Geyeris, which the problem is Zayna, and hopefully his wife will never become a Zayna. And therefore, the Gemara concludes actually that even had he not heard it from explicitly, the same halacha could have been inferred clearly from that incident that Rabbi Shimon Levi holds, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that a kohen can marry a woman that converted under the age of 3. However, the Gemara does bring that. However, Hahu Kahana, the Insiv Giyaris Pchusim Ba'al Shalashon B'yamecha, there was a certain kohen that married a woman that converted under the age of 3. And Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, my hi, what are you doing over here? A kohen marrying a woman that converted? So Amalei, what do you mean? The Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, as we just quoted before, Halacha Gibshim Ben Yochai. She converted under the age of 3, she's not going to say Zayna. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak told him, he says, look, Zil Apik, go ahead and remove her. V'ilai, and if not, mafikna loch Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi mi'unach. I'm going to take Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi out of your ear. In other words, I'm going to excommunicate you, and I'm going to force you to divorce her. And therefore, do it now, before I go ahead and chorus. And obviously what we see from Nachman Yitzchak is that he obviously held that Allah is not Gibshim ben Yechai, and rather like the Rabban, who argue and say that any woman that converted, even under the age of 3, will not be allowed for a kohen to marry.